Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome back. We are live here this Wednesday night for another show. And we have an amazing guest with us tonight, amazing actress who... I'm going to say she moved me big time, Melissa Anschuth. But before we talk to Melissa, I got to tell everybody, tonight's show and all of our shows is brought to you by Bombers and Sleeves. They are the lifestyle apparel brand and are dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down, and they wear it all on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries. Shop Bombers and Sleeves today at bombersandsleeves.com. So... like I said, here she is, the amazing and fabulous Melissa Anschuth. Melissa, thank you for doing this tonight. Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, man. Thanks so much for having me. And I got to say, I wish I had that kind of an introduction everywhere I went.
Well, let me tell you something. I'll say this first before we get into the whole movie. I just got to say, like, I interviewed Don 2 weeks ago, and I've interviewed Don probably a half dozen times over the last so many years. And I had seen he had shared the trailer out for Lost Heart, your latest movie, on LinkedIn. And I watched the trailer, and I was like, this looks really interesting. And then he had put something else on that LinkedIn about it a few weeks back. And I said, hey, I really want to talk to you about this movie. I said, I want to watch it and talk to you about it because there's something about this movie that's really pulling me in. And then when I watched it, I was floored. I was so blown away. I was like, this is amazing. So I'm excited to talk to the lead role in that tonight. So again, we'll get into that, but I want to get into a little background about you first, like, because you are an amazing actress and you deserve your props.
Thank you so much.
How did you end up in the crazy business of acting?
You know, it is a crazy business. So I always tease that I've been an actress since I was born, right? I mean, it's a part of you. It needs to be a part of you because it's such a tough career to get into. And I had all of the things that you can imagine said to me, like, you know, oh, have a backup plan. And, oh, that's a nice little pipe dream, honey. You know, those kinds of things. And, you know, all good intentions, but, you know, they were definitely not excited about where I wanted to go with my life just because of fear. It is a hard industry and there is a lot of competition, but I think perseverance comes in because, you know, it's just like I said, it's a part of you and you just love it. And I love the art of storytelling. And I didn't come from, you know, a great big high school that had all this theater, you know, around me for me to dive into and then, you know, onward go to college. I didn't have any of that. So I tried to create my own, you know, environments and have my friends, you know, and produce back then. And my first little production was Grease, where we invited all of our neighbors, you know, in to watch it as a little girl. And I did go on to college and major in theater. And honestly, I got into film because I really didn't know how to get into film. You know, it was always theater. And that's just, you know, if you want to go in that direction, that's typically where high schools and colleges would lead you. And I had a beautiful baby boy that was such a blessing. But he definitely put the pause on my career. And his brother put the pause on my career for a little bit. And finally, my husband at the time was like, you need to do this. Like, I don't want you to wake up someday and, you know, really regret this. So you need to go back into this. This is just part of who you are and you love it. And so I did. And I did, of course, a theater production. I did The Odd Couple. It was directed by D. Terry Williams back then. And I had to learn the British dialect, and I'm not talking mid-Atlantic, you know, British. So one of those company members that was with me in that, he said, you know, your style of acting is really intimate. I really feel like you would do well on the screen. And at that time I was like, oh, how do you do that? You know, I had no idea how to even get into this field of films and television. And he said, of course, I don't know. And oddly enough, my husband and I just, you know, he really helped me, and I Googled and I found out that, you know, there are great film schools. They're, you know, around most places, and they do student films. And that's really where I got my start. I worked with Compass Film Academy in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I did several of their films, and I was able to build my reel. And then I found an agent in Grand Rapids, and away we go, you know. It was kind of like, that's how I got my start. I know that sounds crazy, but I worked really hard, just never giving up and just hearing all kinds of, you know, things that would definitely discourage.
Of course.
But it was really important to me. It's just, like I said, it's just really, really a part of who I am. And I knew that I needed to keep going and keep pushing and never quit.
You know, to hear that is so beyond amazing, because you figure, you know, after having two kids, you would have thought, who seriously, who goes back at that point and really tries to pursue, you know, let alone their dreams, but their dreams in entertainment?
Well, you know, it's funny because out of the mouths of babes, my children, I have two sons, Alex and Andy, and they were a lot of the reason that really pushed me. My husband's words were, he was always so encouraging. And, you know, I was so adamant about them following their dreams and never giving up and never listening to naysayers. And my oldest Alex said to me when he was just a peanut, you know, he was like, didn't you want to be an actress? And I said, yeah, I did, honey, but you know, dreams have to change. And he goes, that sounds like an excuse to me. And I was like, what? So, you know, he was right. And I said to my husband, man, you know, this is what, you know, Alex just said to me, and he's right. And I need to go back and do this. And they were so great. They were so cute. They were just little, and you know, he was great. So my theater production that I went back into was, you know, the first thing of me back into that world. And then once I was in, like, there was no way I was turning back. And my first film actually was a film called Dome, right? And I remember sitting in the theater at the premiere, and it was a student film. And I remember thinking, this is amazing. Like, I was like, this is the world, you know? So I don't do theater anymore with children. My boys are just my world. And, you know, with them, it, you know, it's too time consuming for, you know, you have 6 weeks of rehearsal in theater and then you have 2 weeks of show. And, you know, with film, I mean, if you get a supporting role, which can be such a great piece of work, you know, inside a story, you can be in and out in, you know, a few days or a week or, and then if you're blessed with a lead, you know, you're still only talking about, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then you're home again. So it just worked better for me. I think it was hard to, you know, break into the world, just not having a clue. but I'm definitely a testimony for anyone can go after it. You know, they really can. If you really have a passion for it. One of the things I do want to say, especially to, you know, young actresses out there, this was really taught to me. This was really important. I started trying to educate myself on all areas of film. So not, you know, just being an actress really wasn't enough. I wanted to understand the entire scope of it behind the camera as well. And I did that. And it really does make you a a better, more qualified actress, because you're understanding, you know, why they're having you stay right here in this frame, and, you know, why you have to hit your mark, and, you know, just things like that. And you can qualify productions. You can ask them certain questions about, you know, what their production is like, whether or not you want to be a part of it, because you can look really bad if you get involved in the wrong, you know, production. So they can paint, you know, it's always the actor's fault. And, you know, it can look like a bad performance and you might've crushed it. So I just really encourage, you know, young actors and actresses out there, just really definitely educate yourself and the entire scope of the world.
Now, let me ask you that too, Lucas, because you're saying about, you know, young actors and actresses, like, when you decide to go back into this, were you intimidated at all by just that, by all these young actors and actresses you were probably surrounded by?
Oh, definitely. I was intimidated by all of it. You know, I was so afraid. And each time that I face that fear, I'm still afraid. And it's because I care so much. You know, I want so much to, you know, become, and I'll process this though. I'm afraid until the moment I start performing, and then everything goes away. And I always joked, it's almost like a therapy. You know, you get to jump inside, you know, somebody else, and you have their issues and their problems, and usually they're a lot bigger than yours. And, you know, you become them, and then everything else goes away. And, you know, the best way for me to describe it is, you know, for like athletes out there, both my sons play football. So I've said to them, like, you know, when you are in the moment and you're scoring a touchdown, or you're, you know, or you're blocking or whatever you're doing, you're not really thinking about what you're doing. I mean, you have this hyper focus. And I think that, you know, holds true for, you know, any industry or anything that you're hyper-focused in. If you can, you know, drive in that lane, then it's fantastic. And then when you come out of it, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You know, you're like, wow, this is, you know, it was wonderful, because you knew you were focused and you knew you were becoming the character versus acting like the character.
Well, how about that? Like, getting into these roles, like the powerful role of Lost part, and then, you know, going through like your actor reels and stuff like that, which I thought was kind of funny, because, you know, your opening scene of Lost Heart is this powerful role, and you're so emotional, and a lot of tears are shed and everything else. And then the reel I see is more of you crying and crying and crying. I'm like, oh my God, she's killing me. She's always crying.
Yeah, I don't think I had a drop of water left in my body after the film wrapped. You know, it's just, and I think one of the things is you have to feel it, you know, so, you know, tears come or they don't. And that's okay. And that's something I had to understand as an actress. If you really try to force those tears, you're going to lose your focus and they're not going to come and it's going to be tough. So I always tell myself, you know, when I'm walking into that scene, you know, to really focus on what's happening to my character, what's happening in the moment. And Lost Heart, Hannah was so broken. And, you know, in the opening scenes, she is living in this fake world that she has become so self-absorbed, because everyone is catering to her every whim. And she does, she eats it up, but she's so, so, so miserable. And so her journey was peeling off, you know, layers of this facade, you know, of this, you know, mega music star who has, you know, the world at her, you know, fingertips, but she inside is just a broken mad mess. And to really peel slowly away those layers, I don't know if you noticed, but I will say hair and makeup did an incredible job with that film. And just, you know, obviously as she's healing, you know, so is everything getting toned down. I mean, she shows up in black leather skin tight pants in this, you know, a small little Michigan town, you know, so she looks like, you know, she sticks out like a sore thumb, and she's always wearing these glittery tops. And, you know, so a lot of it, you know, went into it with the surrounding elements for Hannah. But yes, I really do feel like I felt the things that she was feeling. I felt her brokenness. We had a family vacation right before, and I knew that I needed to be really empty when I entered the role. And so I knew she was self-medicating. And so I literally tried to curb my food. I starved, so I'd be empty. So it was kind of bad timing that we were on this family vacation and I couldn't enjoy like everyone else, you know, is eating all these great foods. And I was like, okay, well, no, but it was so worth it. It really was.
Now, I like this, the whole role of Hannah and the movie Lost Heart, when you get the script for that, were you able to feel the power behind that movie?
Yeah. So, well, DJ Perry wrote the script, which, you know, from your and Don's interview. And when they handed me the script, you know, so Collective Development is also the company that I produce with. And DJ and I had met years ago. We were actually cast leads opposite each other in a different film. I was just an actress then. And he's been great in educating me in the, you know, producing world, him and the entire, what they call tribe. I mean, our tribe of gentlemen who have just been in this business for 25, 30 years and really took me under their wing and really taught me the ropes. And I'm just so grateful, you know, for that experience, you know, for that education that they gave me. But so when this film came around, it was like, you know, it was in existence, but he kind of rewrote it and updated it and, you know, brought it to, you know, today. And I was just honored, you know, and excited, you know, to be able to become Hannah and to absorb this person and become this role. And then know that I had the support of, you know, this great tribe around me. And then I do.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
You have to say, like, Lost Hearts. You know, it's part of what I feel was really spectacular about Lost Heart had a lot to do with behind the camera. You know, Jesse Aragon is an incredible director of photography. Jesse Lowe is an incredible director. We had worked together before on Wild Faith and 40 Nights, two other films. Just did such a great job in those films and in this film and our relationship working together. I just love working with him. He allows me some freedoms. Yeah, he gives really good, solid direction too. And then the score, Dennis Tarian does all of our score. So it's like, I was really comforted to know that, you know, and Shane Hagedorn's also producer, Tony Horner's. I mean, I was really comforted to know that I had this great group around me so that I could just go and do the lead role, really. I mean, it was the first time I was really stepping off, mostly after pre-production. I just got to be Hannah. And I'm grateful for that because, you know, it's hard producing. That's really hard work. So,
something I was going to say, too, like, I wanted to get into the whole collective development thing, but the one thing I wanted to say, like, going through and seeing all this and research and everything, you know, you guys have this this company that you are part of that you helped create. And a lot of the people, from what I've noticed, is, you know, not only are they behind the scenes, but they're in front of the camera as well. And they're just, the talent is on both ends. It's not just like, oh, they just happen to act and help out here and there. You guys are, you know, doing double duty behind this camera, in front of the camera, and both very talented on both ends.
Well, thank you. That was actually DJ Perry's vision. So I did not start CDI. I came in years after they started. Dean Teaster, Tony Hornus, Dennis Tarian, DJ Perry. You know, they were, you know, up and running years and years before I came into the fold. So, and then Shane Hagedorn, around the same time that I did, you know, we kind of joined the group. And the whole thing is that, you know, it's really hard. It's hard to get an audition. I mean, that's the other thing, you know, people don't really realize, you know, when you say, I landed an audition, you know, people are like, okay, whatever, you know, but that's a huge big deal because it's really hard to get an audition in a quality story. So when you land an audition, you know, we joke between us, my friend who's like a brother to me. His name's David Grice. He's actually in the film. We joke all the time. We're like, Lainey Mao audition is the performance that you have to just welcome and be excited about, because after that, you may never hear anything, you know? So his vision was that, okay, you know, I'm going to do this myself, and I'm going to be a storyteller, and I'm going to make these stories, and I'm going to make them great. That is how, you know, I'm going to be able to storytell. And that's, you know, he's obviously worked in other productions. We all have, and we all do, but it's just our way of being able to, you know, to do both, and to do both often, rather than wait for somebody else to make it happen for us. You know, it's like we get to do it. And yes, we have to roll up our sleeves, and we work like dogs. I mean, really do. We work so hard as producers. There's so much that goes on year round, constantly, after wrap, you know, pre-production. I mean, all that that implies. I mean, there's a lot of logistics involved in making a movie. So, but it's worth it. You know, it's worth it. And I do, I love producing, and I love producing with this team.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Like, once you first got involved on that end of it, how much did it open the eyes to the actress in you? Like, whoa! Did you, at any point you think, just like, what did I get involved in? Like, why did I get involved in this end? I think I like the other end a lot better.
Oh, definitely. You know, like I said, I was very green. So when I met DJ, it was on a film called Seven Stones, and we were in the green room because pretty much it was, a heavily two characters, his character, my character. And I had at that time with a few other people, Joe Anderson and David Grice, like I mentioned before, we had come up with this pilot. It was a comedy, you know, it was based on something we had been involved with that was actually funnier behind the scenes. So we wrote, you know, this pilot together, and it was finished, and I was trying to get distribution, and I had no idea how to get distribution for it. So I was bending DJ's ear and saying, like, you know, so what's this and what's this, and asking all kinds of questions. And in his mind, he was like, well, she would make a good producer. So for a film, which was Shane Hagedorn's film, Ashes of Eden, he said, why don't you come and be an associate producer for us? And, you know, I definitely have dual brain. I do love the creative, I would say, more, but I do have a business mind as well. And I loved it. I was like, this is a world that I can be in a business sense. And just really, you know, it's figuring out hotels, it's figuring out flights, it's figuring out ground transportation and meals and contracts. And, you know, there's a lot that really does go on, and I loved it. And thank goodness they thought I did a good job because they brought me on then as a co-producer, and away we went, you know, and I've been co-producing for them ever since.
That's awesome. You know, when you said that, kind of reminded me of like myself with the whole pro wrestling thing. Like, I started out as a pro wrestler, and then I got into the back end with promoting and booking and all that. And then I realized, like, I was actually more satisfied behind the scenes doing the creative part and the booking and all than actually being in front of the camera doing the wrestling. It was weird. It was a very weird realization that I came across in my career at that point.
That's so great. You know, I have to say, I still love the acting best. And that's definitely where my passion sits more heavily. But wrestling is awesome. My nephews wrestle. Yeah. So that's why I was asking about that. I'm like, oh my word, my entire family is, you know, very much into wrestling. And I think that's great, you know, that you felt like, hey, this is where I'm being led, and I'm going to go in that direction. For me, it was like, this is wonderful. I really do enjoy producing, but the acting is where my heart lives. I mean, completely where my heart lives. I love becoming other people, and maybe that makes me a little crazy, and it probably does. And my sons would tell you that that's accurate. But we like to say controllably crazy, right? Like, I just love, I do. It's a therapy. It's wonderful. And my favorite parts are being able to sit in the audience with everyone and watch them, you know, watch the story. So I like to try, sometimes you can't obviously during premieres, but I like to try to sit in the back, and I like to watch expressions, and, you know, and sometimes when it hits, you know, of course, before when we could go to the theater, I was always joking, like, I'm going to wear a baseball cap and I'm going to go in the back and I'm just going to watch what people think. And I hope they love the story. And, you know, it's a piece of you. So it's just, it's really personal. And, you know, that character, you're connected to them and you're connected to the whole story and their life in that story. And so you want so much for people to enjoy it. That's why when you were saying those great things about Lost Heart and how it touched you, and you have no idea, I'm sure that I will cry, you know, like just hearing that, because it's just, it's wonderful. That's what we want. You know, we want our, you know, our stories to really hit home in your heart and to create some emotion for you and let you escape your worlds for a while.
I'll tell you what, I did cry. I actually did shed some tears, you know, during the funeral scene. And I was kind of dreading it too. Cause I, you know, my fiance makes fun of me all the time. Cause I always cry during movies and I cried the drop of the hat over things. And I was like, as it was getting close, I'm thinking to myself, I know what I'm crying. I know what I'm crying. And I'm like sitting here watching. I'm like, yeah, here it comes.
Oh, I love that. But that's like the best compliment that you could possibly give me. You know, like it really is, because you felt that, you know, you felt her moment. A redemption. You felt, and I think we've all been there, right? We've all been to that place in our lives where it just feels, especially now, I mean, just today, you know, it just feels really dark and you don't feel like there's any hope. And I describe that moment for Hannah is, you know, that was her moment where she had hope. You know, there was something better for her, and she could be forgiven for everything that she had gone through and done, and she too was forgiving. So, you know, that's the other thing. It's like people, you know, say, you know, oh, I've been forgiven. Well, you know, but you too have to be a part of that and really have to forgive. You know, we're all human and we make mistakes. And as we walk through our lives, there's a ton of them that we make. And we're going to continue to make them. I mean, I know I do.
I do.
You know, so that moment for her, it was like, that was her moment. Like, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, how about, like, we've mentioned them a few times already, when you're working in these movies and you're starring opposite a Don Most, a Victoria Jackson, which, I mean, both of them, you know, they're more or less known for their comedic roles through their career. And here, and that was the thing that really drew me to this, too, was seeing Don doing, you know, something that was very different.
It was such an honor, because for me, both of them were absolute, I mean, were heroes for me. You know, growing up, I watched Happy Days every single day after school. You know, like, I mean, and then, you know, Saturday Night Live with Victoria Jackson, when they told me that Victoria was coming on board to play my mother, I cried. I was like, it's Victoria Jackson. Oh my word. It's Victoria Jackson. Like, she is so amazing. And Don and Victoria are the most humble, talented people. I mean, they truly just offer you their gifts, and they're just incredible people, you know, off screen and on screen. And so to be able to work opposite people that were your, you know, icons for you, you know, it was just like such an incredible, you know, moment. And especially, you know, with both of them, I mean, with Victoria, she played my mother. So there was just such a special, special bond and connection that we ended up carrying on. I mean, I'm friends with Victoria now, and that's just, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful that this friendship was born, you know, through storytelling. And then Don playing, you know, this quirky pastor who is just doesn't really know what he's doing, but he's really trying so hard. And he just was brilliant in it. You know, the way that he portrayed this quirky character was brilliant. And I have to say that the characters in Lost Heart and their quirky moments, they were so human. And, you know, that they were so realistic, you know, and it was often said to me, you know, the only tragedy is Hannah's, and because everybody else was, you know, just kind of moving about, you know, just about their day. But it just really made it realistic to, you know, families and towns, and people are quirky. And each of those actors that surrounded me in this film just played that beautifully. I mean, Taylor Dupuis, I mean, what a voice, right? Like, she is incredible.
Let me tell you this. When she sang in that scene, I was like, what did I just hear? Like, oh my God.
Right? I know. And I was there when they all kind of looked at her and I said, seriously, girl, like, you are just insanely talented. Like, you are incredible. And she is. I mean, she's incredible. And she is pursuing that music career. And I just pray for her every day because, you know, I want her to just soar. And I hope this film helps, you know, facilitate that. But all the characters, you know, Shane's character in it is just fantastic. DJ's character in it, you know, and I do have a little secret. So one of the very special parts for me in Lost Heart was that my niece, who is an aspiring actress herself, auditioned to play the younger version of me, teenage Hannah, and landed the role. So Cassie Dean, who plays young Hannah, is my actual niece.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was amazing. So having her on set was probably like one of the most special moments. She was just cast just recently in a new film as a lead actress in this, you know, this round. So it just really helped propel her in that direction. And I'm so proud of her. But that was so fun to have a family member because my entire family, except for her, is nothing to do with this world. Nothing. They're all athletes, and which is great. Like, but you know, none of them are really in, you know, this kind of this world, this field, or anything, except for my sweet Cassie. And so, that was really fun to watch her, you know, become and to work with her behind the scenes, and you know, it's just fantastic. So, you know,
I'm guessing you're definitely the most favorite.
No. Well, I'm going to say yes, you know, but I'm biased, of course. I hope so. I certainly work on that spot.
Now, how about the one who truly I felt really made the movie overall is the actor playing Chip.
Josh Perry is
amazing.
He has held a place in my heart. Josh and I did The Christ Slayer together, which I also produced. It was shot out in Yuma, Arizona. And I tell this story, and I'm going to tell it today because it just put things in perspective. So I was producing, and when you produce in the desert, you earn what we call desert stripes. I mean, it is some hard producing work. It really is. It's hot, and half the time there's no like landmarks, you know, to try to find locations. And you know, it's just really, it's difficult. And I was, you know, it was right when the sun had just come up and I was just getting to set and Josh was there preparing for his role. And I got out, he came.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Out of the RV, and I was stressed, and I'm sure you could see it, you know, on my face. And he walked over, and he put his arm around me, and he said, did you see the sunrise today, Melissa? And I was like, what? And he's like, you should have seen it. It was beautiful. And I was like, you know what, Josh, you're right. Like, you're right. I'm losing perspective. It probably was beautiful. And I'm going to make sure that I see it tomorrow. And I cannot even tell you how much I admire and just adore Josh. He is one of the hardest working actors I think I've ever worked with. He's spot on. I mean, the man never drops a line. He is funny in between scenes. And he just loves with just this incredible heart. Everyone that's in front of him. I mean, Josh is everything that you would think. He's amazing. And so those scenes are probably some of my favorite scenes of the movie, you know, with Josh and Hannah, because for Hannah, Chip was the only one she truly trusted. Everyone else is telling her about this man who's like, how can this be? I don't even know who you're talking about, right? This person that she hated, you know? And when she meets Chip, you know, and they have these great conversations, she trusts him because she knows that he's going to give it to her straight. And she feels like she can give it to him straight too. So that's why that scene when they're sitting on his bed talking, you know, she's asking him about, you know, her dad, because she trusts that he's going to tell her the truth.
You know, I love the fact too, the whole Bigfoot thing incorporated, because I love Bigfoot. So I was loving that whole thing.
I know. Wasn't that great? I mean, just so much fun. And he, Josh was great with that Bigfoot head. I mean, he was constantly like putting it on and, you know, doing fun things, you know, behind the scenes, in between scenes. And, you know, to have Bigfoot and UFOs, you know, in a faith and limo, it was such a fun shoot. You know, we have some behind the scenes, you know, stills and stuff. And, you know, whenever anyone's looking at those pictures, just know that that is all true. I mean, were there stresses? Of course there were, but we were having such a good time telling the story together. And it was absolutely a family. And I love all of them. I miss them, you know, and a lot, pretty much, well, everyone we have remained friends with, you know, you'll see a lot of repeats, in acting, because why, you know, change a good thing. Christine Marie has, who plays my aunt in it. She has definitely ridden with us on a few different films. She's a fantastic person, fantastic actress. So yeah, I mean, that's the environment we really want to try to create as producers, is this, we're all driving for the same goal, and that's to get this story told. But while we're doing it, we can celebrate each other and have fun, you know, with limits, of course, because we have to keep moving forward, which is Nate Roberson's job, and he is fantastic at it. He's our first AD. And I feel like he's one of the best first ADs around. Like, he really is just fantastic at his job, and he's got a hard job. You know, all the logistics of the hot set are his. And when I say hot set, it's, you know, the actual set. So he just does a tremendous job in keeping everybody in line and moving forward. But we have fun. I mean, and I feel like a lot of that chemistry translates to the big screen when we're finished.
Now, how about, you know, if you guys got done shooting and all, and then rolls into COVID, like, did that, like, change anything? Like, was, you know, was it going to be a theater release? Did it just slow, like, the release of it down at all? Or?
Yeah, well, and, you know, of course, the entire world was trying to pivot, right? So we weren't alone. I mean, everyone was trying to figure things out, and what are we going to do, and how are we going to do this? And Encourage TV, which is BMG Global, who is the distributor for the film. And actually, DJ had this idea of, like, how great would it be if we had a produced red carpet premiere, meaning we still have a very small gathering with, you know, the actors and, you know, a few family members, because there were so many limits to how many could be together at that time with masks, and we actually film it and then put it on either side and then shoot it out. And so basically we're inviting the world to our red carpet premiere, where it was all online. It was all streamed. It was really fun because we're so much built up to that, you know, of, you know, getting that done and then getting, you know, because we had, you know, an actual director come in, Nathaniel Knows directed those two videos that went on either side of the world premiere of the film, and then Encouraged TV shot it out on just 2 days. So in between there, we were, you know, doing PR and definitely promoting it. And so it was actually ended up being kind of a better thing, because when can you ever have the whole world come to your red carpet premiere? So it was one of those moments where, you know, at first you're like, oh, this really stinks. Like, you know, we're not going to, but we did, we got to get dressed up, and it was just very few of us. We came together, we filmed it, and then we got to sit, you know, with our families and watch actually the premiere with everyone that we love. So it turned out okay. It turned out great.
Now, was that the first time you got to see the finished product?
No, there's producer perks. Which are great and, you know, sometimes not great, because, you know, you get to see the rough edit, and you really have to look at it as like, this is the first cut, There's no music in, there's no sound design in, you know, these are just the first, you know, it's the very first stages. And we watched those, you know, online, you know, before private links. And then we give notes and then, you know, the film kind of progresses into what it becomes. So I had gotten to see it before, I do admit that. But it was the first time that, you know, all the other actors who weren't producing got to see it. And my family.
Which, something too, I was very shocked to find out, you know, after everything wrapped with the movie, that the tragedy that you went through with both you and your husband. First off, my condolences.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Yeah. Losing my husband was, you know, obviously it just knocked the wind out of me, of course. You know, he was, you know, like I said, like I told you in the story, he was such an advocate for my career, and him not being in my, you know, in that field is rare to get that kind of support to a world he just doesn't, you know, he didn't understand, but his wife's so happy. And so he was definitely, you know, a big push for me to get into it. And right after it wrapped, I mean, just a few months later, you know, both of us being diagnosed with cancer and then just having this whole journey and of, you know, of fighting through that and what that looked like and how hard that was and, you know, trying to make, you know, understand it. And, you know, I really definitely leaned hard into my faith for that to get me through that. But I will say my family is just amazing, family and friends. I mean, my family has stepped up in ways that I don't know what I would have done without them. I really don't know where I would even be emotionally. I mean, as you can see, I'm good. And I feel like, you know, that, you know, he's always going to be with me. And I very much feel that way. And he's shown me that in ways, subtle ways. But yeah, my family surrounded, we've surrounded each other and just helped each other and lifted each other and friends too, of course. It's been an incredible, you know, last year. Most people say, oh, you know, it's been a terrible year with COVID. And I just, I have to say, oh man, you have no idea.
Yeah. That was the easy part.
Right? Yeah. Unfortunately, it was, you know, it was definitely something to go through. I do feel like it has really grounded me in ways I would never have been. You can't possibly know, right? Like what, you know, what you'll do or how you'll behave or what's going to come from it. But, you know, we're strong. And we're survivors, and I do have just this incredible support. I'm so grateful.
I gotta say this too, like you explained how he was the one that really pushed you to get back into the acting. The way I feel, like whenever you are acting now, he's always with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, and everyone said, oh, he didn't get to see Lost Heart. And Lost Heart was actually the very first film set he ever visited. He was just like, no, it's just a weird world for me. And it's weird for me to see you like become someone else. It's just, you know, I don't know. And we had a day off. We had a day off. And I was like, you know, you should come up. And so he did. He came up and he made a bunch of us sushi. He loved to cook for people. But he never got to see the finished product. And, you know, I mean, in this world, right? Obviously, of course, he watched it and I know is proud because he knows how much it meant to me. He was the one who would, you know, rehearse with me. I mean, he was always reading lines opposite me. You know, he was the worst actor in the world. you know, I would tease him all the time, like, oh, just read it, babe. Like, that's not good. but I'm just so grateful. And I really do feel honored to have been the recipient of his love for so many years.
That's amazing. So, collective development, you guys are working on a bunch of other things now too.
Yes, we have a. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell yet, but I'm gonna leak it. Sorry, Tony. Sorry, DJ. But we have a World War II film coming. And that's, you know, in the works. So we're really excited about that. I love historical pieces. I think they're great. Period pieces are hard, you know, because you got it. You really try to get everything right, you know, for the time. And then, you know, we're really hopeful that Wild Faith turns into a series. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch that film.
No.
But please do. Lauren Lestrada is lead opposite Shane Hagedorn, and they just really knock it out of the park. I get to play, I have the honor of playing a half Native American, half white trapper. It's late 1800s. So I joke that, like, I didn't have to touch hair or makeup, or, you know, I just got to roll in, you know, right out of bed. Because my character was a total tomboy. It was really, really fun. It was a really different role for me. The guys joked that she doesn't talk very much, my character. Her name is Hester Thicket. And in the film, she has very few words, but her words are very important when she does speak. And so they joked that it was their way of getting me to shut up. So, but that is definitely a series hopeful. It just has great, good family values to it. You know, I mean, so much of things we watch today are just really hard to watch with your kids, especially if they're young. And remember back in, like, you know, the day, you could watch like Little House on the Prairie and Happy Days and just things, right? Exactly. You know, and they just had these really good messages, and they were just, you felt good when you left them. And that's what Wild Faith is like. You know, it's funny and it's sad and it's beautiful. And there's just, it's the message of love. And that just has been so overlooked, especially right now. And what that means and what that looks like. And so I'm really hopeful that that series does happen, because I feel like then each episode, you know, people can enjoy the world of, you know, Wild Faith. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was another one, something to do with cars or something, Lost in Wheels or something.
Oh, Best Year's Gone. Yes. Okay. Yes. Best Year's Gone is shot. It is in post. And that film, well, you know, usually it's about a year in post. It's a fun, you know, kind of like, I'll call it, for lack of a better word, like a quirky romance, very quirky. And that's kind of like, love looks different for everyone. Erica Hovland and DJ actually star in that. Wow. She's amazing. Wait for the world to see her. She's just an incredible actress, such admiration for her. DJ knocks it out of the park in that film. Shane is directing that one. And the characters in it are extremely eccentric. they're fabulous in their own right. But they're definitely eccentric. I play a Jersey girl in it, which was fun, you know, just kind of getting that, you know, you and me were like wheel and water, two things that should just never go together. So that was fun, you know, learning like that. Right. Oh, yeah. You know, lots of makeup and, you know, it was just really fun. Not that, you know, people in Jersey wear a lot of makeup, but, you know, I was doing like the, you know, the character version of that. And It's fun. I mean, I'm excited for people to see that film. I have not seen anything but a rough cut. So, because it's, you know, going through a second edit right now. So that will be out sometime probably next year, or like more towards fall, would be my guess. Right now they're all listening going, don't give us a time frame.
So anything else you're up to throw out there? Or?
Well, you know, I'm definitely kind of, I'll call it a warpath of really wanting to look at more acting, definitely. And so I've been in discussions with, you know, different agents, about what that could look like. I feel like I'm in that kind of unfortunate or fortunate, however you want to say, you know, moment where in order to really be seen by, you know, some, you know, studio funded things or, you know, of that nature, a lot of times those go through agents. And my agent was originally in Chicago and she did a fantastic job, but it was mostly commercials. And, you know, and commercials are great, but that's not the meat and potatoes for me. And commercial actors and actresses are fantastic. I mean, that's wonderful if that's what you want to do, but that's not where I want to sit. So right now I'm really exploring, you know, what that could look like, where I would need to go. I mean, obviously with the loss of my husband, I've realized how short this life is. And you really have to seize your moments and really go after them. And my children are older now. They're both in college. Obviously, they both play college football, which I'm very proud about that. And so I have those commitments, which, you know, I'll be at all their games and I'll be the crazy mom in the stands. Of course, I will. But other than that, you know, I don't feel as though there's, you know, like they're not in high school, right? So they're not little and I don't have to be home all the time or in one area. And so I'm definitely on a pursuit for what that looks like. I don't, you know, for the first time actually in my life since my kids were born, you know, I had this opportunity again and I want to seize that. My husband's last words were, you just always think you're going to have more time. And, you know, let that resonate for a minute, right? Like we take this life for granted. And I don't want to do that. I want to learn from what happened to him and what happens, you know, to me and really move forward and go after things that are scary. And, you know, I mean, you can always go after it. And if it's scary and it ends up being a complete catastrophe, well, you can always back up and pivot, you know, like, you know, you're not stuck. And I think that's really important. And I think that's a really important thing for people to hear, whatever it is, you know, go after it. Why not? You know, don't be afraid.
I think now is your time. I think it's your time to shine now.
Thank you. I can't tell you how honored I was and excited I was when you asked me to come on the show. And I just loved your interview with Dawn. I love that your interviews are just these great conversations together. You know, they don't feel like, you know, there's this nervous and then there's this forced. And it's just you're so easy to talk to. You're so good at what you do. And I'm grateful for you.
Thank you very much. You know, it's funny, like usually I'll have like one or two pages of questions lined up. And honestly, there was like two or three questions with you. Like I just knew it was just going to be like a conversation.
Yeah, well, you make me so comfortable, and that's just a gift, you know? I mean, I watched you do the same thing with Dawn. It's like you really do. You make your guests feel so comfortable that they can just open up and just talk to you. And, you know, hopefully people, your audience and my audience, because, you know, hopefully they're all watching and can glean some things, you know, from our conversation and, you know, definitely some education, you know, on both sides. But I am really grateful for you, and I hope that people tell you that. I'm sure your fiance tells you that.
Yes, she does. So let's get the word out about you. Where should we send everybody to find you?
Thank you. IMDb has all of my contact information. You can reach me directly on IMDb. You know, it has, you know, obviously email is probably the best route to go. So I would encourage, you know, please go to my IMDb page. My name, I've been spelling it since I married it. I don't know if it's on the screen. So I know it's a rough one, but the phonics is A-N-S-H-O-O-T-S. So Ann Schutz. but I'm proud of it, you know, because it was my husband's. And if you go to my IMDb page and you go to the contact information, you should be able to get a hold of me. I have had a lot of people based on what I went through reach out to me through Facebook. And I just want all of them to know that I am still reading through those messages. And I'm so touched by the many, many stories of people and what they've gone through and you know, just so much. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of their messages. It would be another way that people, of course, could get a hold of me, you know, through that route as well. But you know, there was a lot of messages that came in, you know, definitely after those interviews when I talked about what happened, just sharing their grief and, you know, their circumstances. And I can't tell you, you know, often I'd have to only read like a few because I would be a mess, you know, crying, like just, you know, just people have really seen some hardship.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a scary and horrible thing. Like when you go through it yourself and then when you feel like you're alone. And then you get those messages and you realize that I'm not alone. And it's, right. You know, it's a sad world out there. And you have to, you know, make the happy positiveness and, you know, go for those stars. And It is. Start.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You're right. It is a sad and happy world, and always try to find what's good about today. Or sometimes it's like what's good about the next moment that you're in. And I'm really look to the people that surround you and understand, how vital they are. Because I know for me, those people in my life, they were vital to me being healthy today.
Well, Melissa, I can't thank you so much for doing this. At Lost Heart, where should we be watching it?
Yes, Lost Heart. So you can watch it on Encourage TV, or you can watch it on Amazon, of course. I know most people probably will, go the Amazon route, but Encourage TV has a ton of great family-friendly films. In addition to Lost Heart, they have several of our other films. Wild Faith is on there. We did a Quest trilogy, which is 40 Nights, The Christ Slayer, Chasing the Star. And Encourage TV is free. So it's like, if you go to Encourage TV, just Google it, ENCOURAGE, Encourage TV. It'll pop up. You just put in your email and then subscribe. And then you can see several of their films, including, Lost Heart, which is also on Amazon Prime. But please watch it. If you do see it, please go to IMDb and tell us what you thought. Reviews are so super important. Be kind. know that we really did want you to love the film. And, sometimes it's easy for people, I think, to hide behind that computer and say hurtful things. I know that goes on a lot with social media. And I just encourage people to not do that, to really think about the person who's receiving it has a heart and a soul and feelings and, constructive criticism, that's part of the game, right? We expect that as actors, as producers, as filmmakers, we absolutely expect that. And that's okay. To just thrash something or someone we're all seeing that right now. It's just not constructive, and no one's going to learn and no one's going to move forward from that. And I hope people really do take, mindful moments before they were to post something hateful and proceed with a better foot forward.
The one thing I really truly learned from doing this for the last so many years is, like, when I see an interview of mine get picked up by a website or something, never read the comments. Never.
Yeah. I know, right? Oh, because it's just like, why?
Exactly.
Sometimes they're just downright mean. Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to say it. They can just be downright mean. And you want to just grab that person and say, whoever you are, hidden behind whatever handle you have, do you have any idea the painstaking efforts that went behind, whatever was being done? And if you did, I wonder if you would pause before you just said something just so cruel. And, people say, oh, you gotta have a thick skin. And we do, I do. I have, of course you do. You have to, you hear no way more often than you hear yes. And we accept that, going in, one of the, which brings me to real quickly, fame, right? So fame is actually an unfortunate byproduct of the industry for me. Because it floodgates this industry with people who don't truly love the craft. And I'm not saying I'm speaking to anyone in particular. I'm just saying it's unfortunate if you are going to pursue this career for that element only. Because it shouldn't be the way, if you want to pursue this career, do it because of the love of storytelling, because of the love of the craft. Don't do it to try to be famous. I mean, and if you are blessed enough to have this notoriety, then be extremely, with great power comes great responsibility. What film is that from, right? I mean, be extremely mindful of the things that you say and make them have purpose. That's really important today, especially. Yeah. And I'm going to get off the soapbox that I didn't even mean to step up on because... I do think that's also good advice for people who are aspiring to get into this profession. Those are definitely the wrong reasons, and it can make the journey really hard. And you'll, probably fall off the mark if you proceed because of that.
I am the walking poster boy for that, because, you know, before I got into the world of pro wrestling, I wanted to be a rock star. But that was the whole problem. I wanted to be a rock star, not a musician. And never truly learned the craft of playing the instruments. I was too busy posing in the mirror to be the rock star.
That's awesome, though. No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and there is so much, you know, that's the beautiful thing about acting. It's like the self-monitoring goes right out the door. If you want to be a model, go be a model. But when, you know, I mean, if you're worried about looking ugly, well, then you are in the wrong profession, because some roles are downright ugly. Life is ugly. So if you want to give an accurate portrayal of a person and maybe whatever circumstance that they're living, then be truthful to that. You know, it's like I joked with Wild Faith, you know, Hester Thicket was far from glamorous. There was nothing glamorous about her, but she was beautiful in her own right, because she was this stripped down person who had so much heart and so much, you know, wisdom to her words. So, you know, which is why, you know, I mean, I feel like it's a really important thing. Like, don't worry about what you look like when you're in a role. You know, be the person and you will come out fabulous. I did a film called Chasing the Rain with Matt Lanter. I don't know. It just came out not that long ago on Amazon. And a bunch of my friends were like, you were in that film? Like, I didn't. And it's because the makeup on that film, they literally put like prosthetics on my face. They manipulated my features so much so that in my trailer, I took a picture of my reflection in my mirror and sent it to my mother and said, she wrote back and said, who is that? I mean, completely unrecognizable. So I was so excited to see this film come out because I wanted to see what it looked like, you know. And I mean, I can obviously tell it's me, but you want to talk about homely? Ooh. I mean, they're like, it was definitely humbling. Like, there is nothing that is beautiful or remarkable exterior-wise about this character. And that's kind of the point of my character in the film. So, you know, yeah. So the point is, it was like, that was so much fun to do. You don't have to worry. You don't have to self-monitor. You don't have to worry about what you look like or what you're saying or you're turning this way or that way. And all I got to do is hit your mark, stay in your frame, and really become that person. And, you know, let everyone else who's an expert in that area light you, film you, you know, direct you, you know, do all the things that will make it great.
Yeah, acting's not all just red carpet.
No, actually, it's a funny story. My niece was saying, she calls me Titi. And after she shot her scene, you know, she runs, her character runs through this big field in the film Lost Heart. And she called me afterwards. She said, Titi, acting is not glamorous at all. I had to run through the field like 20 times. And I said, oh, honey, welcome to the world.
You wanted to be an actor,
right? She said, and the sick part is, she's like, I loved every single bit of it.
Well, I guess that was the true test for her to see if she was really going to like it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'm so proud of her, and I can't wait to watch her career, because it's going to be full with, you know, all kinds of great opportunities for her. And I will be there for her in every single way that I can to support her journey.
That's awesome. Well, Melissa, again, thank you so much for doing this. It was great to talk to you about not only Lost Heart, but everything else. It's great to be a friend with you now.
Yes.
Everybody, Encourage TV, check out Lost Heart. Also, check out the other films by Collective Development. And check out Melissa. Go to IMDb and look her up. Send her a message. Like her. She's also on Instagram and everything else. So there you go.
Yes, Mel or Melissa is my handle.
Awesome. Melissa, thank you again so much. And everybody, thank you for checking this out.
You're amazing. Thank you.